All the people that are joining us for the first time on Zoom, I just wanted to welcome to Henry Orlinsky. I just wanted to announce that this shiur is still on my old Zoom link, which is not through YU, and therefore will cut off after 40 minutes, and we're going to have to log on again. But I did finally, with the help of Rabbi Kalinsky from YU, I did finally get my YU Zoom account going. So Be'ezras Hashem, for Sunday, I'll send out a new link to whoever's interested. If you could just, I don't know, maybe at the end of the shiur, put your email address in the chat box so that I can send you the new link. But I think at the end of the shiur, because I think if we're logged off and have to sign on again, it's going to, I don't know if the chat box will stay. I don't know how this works. So Be'ezras Hashem, next week we'll have avoided all of those problems. Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Dalid. We left off on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Ushmona Asa Davar at the two dots on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Mordechai Javaheri in honor of his father Morris Javaheri's birthday. He said his father's consistent dedication to Talmud Torah has inspired Mordechai. I know Mordechai quite well. He is quite a Ben Torah, so it must have been quite an inspiration. So Shav, happy birthday. And it's also sponsored by Eitan Feldman, Lezuchus Refuah Shalema, for his father, Noach Ben Chaya Liba. He should have a Refuah Shalema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. And we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding again Yud Gimel and Beis, and we're about to list off the Yud Ches Dover, the 18 Gzeros that were made in the Aliyas Chananya Ben Chizkiah on that one day. And the Gemara is going to start first just by listing the 18 Gzeros, and then we're going to start going into them one by one. We're going to explain the Gzera of Tumah that we impose upon a person who eats foods that are either a Rishon L'Tumah or a Sheni L'Tumah. We're going to explain the Gzeres Tumah on someone who has 3 lug of Mayim Sheuvin that are poured on him, whether it's right after going to the mikvah or just in general. We're going to explain the Gzeres of Tumah on a Sefer. Why in the world would a Sefer of Kedusha have Tumah? We're going to explain Tumas Yadayim, the notion of Tumas Yadayim, and also the history of Tumas Yadayim. Who made the Gzera of Tumas Yadayim? We're going to discuss food that became Tameh from a Mashkin, from a Mashke, Kalim that became Tameh from a Mashke, and then at the very end, we're going to discuss the particular roles of Shammai and Hillel, the Talmidei Shammai and Hillel, but even before all that, of Shlomo HaMelech in the notion of Tumas Yadayim. So let's begin at the two dots on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bey. So says the Gemara, Shvonas Adover Gaz, that they made 18 gzeros on that day in the Aliyah of Chananya ben Chizkiah, where when the Talmidei Beis Shammai outnumbered the Talmidei Beis Hillel, and the Talmidei Beis Shammai sort of won the vote on that day. So says the Gemara, Mainin Ushman Asar Davar, what are these 18 gzeros? Ditnan, the Mishnah says in Meseches Zavim, Elu Posel Nes HaTruma, the following things are Metame Truma, from meaning make it that truma will become tameh, that you're not allowed to eat it, and if these things touch truma, the truma will become tameh. Ha'ochel ochel rishon, anyone who's eaten the food that itself is a rishon l'tuma, after because the food itself touched navatuma, the food is a rishon l'tuma, now you eat that food, now you're going to pasul truma. Someone who ate the rishon l'tuma is going to pasul truma. Now you have to realize this has to only be midrabanan. Mina Torah, food and drink is not metame a human, except for with one exception, nevelas of tahar, which is metame at the time that it's in the beis ablia. So the person who eats a nevelas of tahar, not only does he become tame, his begadim become tame as well. Even though it's an avatuma, a regular nevela is an avatuma, it's not metame a person when he eats it. So this is a gezeira, and also va'ochel ochel sheni. Even a person who eats a sheni l'tuma, if he already touched a rishon l'tuma, the food has touched a rishon l'tuma, and now this food is a sheni l'tuma. The person who consumes the food that's a sheni l'tuma is going to passel truma. Third, va'shos a mashkin tamein. Someone who drinks a mashka that itself is tamei is also going to passel truma. But when it comes to mashka, we don't say what kind of tuma the mashka has. When it came to ochel, someone who ate a rishon l'tuma, someone who ate a sheni l'tuma, we enumerate both of them. When it comes to a mashka, we don't enumerate both of them. We just say mashkim. We don't say rishon or sheni. And the reason is because mashkim tumeim are always a rishon l'tuma. That's a mishnah meseches para. So this gezerah that mashkim tumeim are always a rishon l'tuma, the truth is, was not yet a gezerah at the time that they were gozer on Shosa Mashkim Tameim, but they wanted to be gozer this gezerah soon thereafter, Tosus points out, and therefore it was not necessary to give any more detail than to just say that a Shosa Mashkim Tameim. Next, Barosho Veruba B'mayim Sheuvin. If a person puts the majority of his body in drawn water, in regular tap water, on the day that he went to the mikvah, so he's also going to be tamei. Vitar shenafal al rosh v'rushal shalugim ayim shuvim. Not only someone who went to the mikvah and then takes a shower or takes a bath, even a tahar person, someone who was previously totally tahar, and then he takes a bath or a shower, he's also going to be tamei. V'hasefer and kisvei hakodesh are also mitamei. V'hayadayim, stam yadayim, are assumed to be tamei until you do netilas yadayim. V'atvul yom, a person who went to the mikveh and does not yet have harav shemesh after going to the mikveh, the sun hasn't yet set, the day is not yet over, that they were gozer on him as well. The Gemara is going to ask, wait a second, that's a din d'oraisa. A tevul yom is still going to have certain level of tuma until nightfall. That's a din d'oraisa. That's not a din midrabanan. So why do we why are we saying a tevul yom? But, so the Gemara will discuss that. And the Gemara is actually going to delete tevul yom from the list. Va'ochlim va'kelim shenitmu b'mashkin, and also food and kelim that became tamei by touching mashkim tameim, and therefore became tamei midrabanan. All of these things have a din of a sheni l'tuma, and they therefore pasul truma by touching the truma. These are the 18 gzeros that they were gozer in the aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. So now the Gemara is going to elaborate on these gzeros. We're not going to get through all 18 of them in today's daf, but we're going to begin to elaborate on these gzeros. So says Gemara, man tana ha'ochel ochel rishon va'ochel ochel sheni mifsal pasli, but tmuye lomitamu. Who is the Tana that holds that regardless of what level of tuma the food that you ate was, whether the food that you ate was a rishon l'tuma or whether the food that you ate was a sheni l'tuma, that regardless of the level of tuma, the most you're going to affect truma is to pasel it but not to be metame it. Just to get the terminology down, when we say that you pasel truma, it means that the truma itself becomes tame, but not so tame that it will be able to be metame other things. When we say that you have been metame truma, we're saying you have been metame it in such an intense way that it even has the capacity to be metame something else. So who's the one that says that if I eat either a rishon or a sheni, I can affect truma in either case, but I cannot affect it so much that it's going to be metame other things. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Bechana, Rabbi Yoshua hi. That is the shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Ditnan, because there's a Mishnah in the second perek of Meseches Taharos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'ogad Meseches Taharos is an actual Mesechta. A lot of people are unaware, they know that there's a Seder Taharos. There's a Mesechta called Taharos as well. Most of the Siddurim in Shas do not have a Mesechta within them. There's no Meseches Moed. There is a Meseches Nezikin. A lot of people are unaware of that, but Baba Kam, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, the Bali Atosis point out, are just three sections of what was initially a single Mesechta of Meseches Nezikin. So they're just, but anyway, so in Meseches Taros, there's a Mishnah that tells us, Rabbi Lez Romer, Ochel Ochel Rishon, Rishon, Ochel Ochel Sheni, Sheni. That Rabbi Lezer says, when a person eats a Rishon the Tumah, he has a different status than a person who eats a sheni l'tuma. The gezeira was that if you eat a rishon l'tuma, you become a rishon l'tuma, and if you eat a sheni l'tuma, you become a sheni l'tuma, and ochel shlishi, shlishi, and if you eat a shlishi l'tuma, you become a shlishi l'tuma. So what are the ramifications of that as far as truma is concerned? So what it means is as follows, that when it comes to being metame truma, if you become a rishon l'tuma, so then you can be metame truma, not just pasul truma, but metame truma. The truma is going to become a sheni, and will therefore have the capacity to make other truma into a shlishi. But if you've only become a sheni l'tuma, when you eat an ochel sheni, then you only pasul truma, because the truma can only become a shlishi through you, and therefore cannot turn around and be metame anything else. And if you ate a shlishi l'tuma, then you have no ability to affect truma whatsoever. You can only affect kodesh. You can only affect that which is hegdish. So that's the shita of Rabbi Lezer, and that very clearly does not conform to what we just said. I mean, it does not conform to the idea that whether you ate a rishon or a sheni, all you can do is pasul truma, but not be mitame truma. The kachim that we talk about with regard to tuma are kachim that have kedushas haguf, basar of a carbon, chalos of a toda that the carbon toda was shechted on, the menachos that have kedusha bekli shares, but kachim that only have kedushas peh are not eligible for that level of revi'i l'tuma. The Rash in Meseches Taros points out that even though an ochel that's a shlishi l'tuma, you can't say that the idea that a person who eats a shlishi l'tuma becomes a shlishi is not, it does not make much sense when we consider the reason for the gzeira of a person. Does not make much sense when you consider the reason for the gzeira of a person being tame from what he eats. Because the whole reason for the gzeira, we're going to see soon in the Gemara, is that a person might be eating tame food, and he'll stick truma in his mouth at the same time. And the truma will become tame from the tame food. So what exactly were they concerned about if you're eating a shlishi l'tuma? If you're going to say that a person who eats a shlishi l'tuma becomes a shlishi. Why? What are you afraid of? He's going to put truma in his mouth? Nothing happens to truma when it comes in contact with a shlishi l'tuma. But, says the Rash on the Mishnah Sintaros, lo chilku chacham v'gzeirasam. The Chacham thought that the easiest way to follow this gzeira is if they made it simple. You become what you eat. You are what you eat. That's it. And that was the way they made this gezeira. So that's why, according to the shita of, who was it that we just said, of Rabbi Eliezer, you become a shlishi l'tuma even when you eat a shlishi l'tuma. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that's not the rule. The rule is as follows. Ha'ochel ochel rishon va'ochel sheni sheni. A person who eats something that's a rishon l'tuma, or a person who eats something that's a sheni l'tuma, in either case, he only becomes a sheni. Ah, that conforms very nicely to what we were saying in the Mishnah, that a person who eats either a rishon or a sheni can affect truma to become a shlishi, but cannot affect truma to be anything more powerful than a shlishi. Meaning, he can pasul truma, but he cannot be metame truma. And what if he eats a shlishi? Shlishi, sheni l'kodesh, ve'ein sheni l'truma. So if he eats a shlishi l'truma, he becomes a sheni, but only, so his tuma actually elevates above, beyond what he ate, meaning his tuma is more intense than that which he ate, except that's only with regard to kodesh. So if he touches kodesh, that kodesh is now going to become a sheni, now going to become a shlishi, but that he will not have the capacity to even pasul truma. B'chul and shenasu altaras truma. And we're talking about the chulin that is guarded with the tar of truma. So they have a din of truma in respect to this, that if a sheni l'tuma, that if they touch a sheni l'tuma, they become a shlishi l'tuma by truma, and someone who eats them will pasul kodesh. But regular stam chulin food does not become a shlishi l'tuma at all, meaning this whole din that if a person eats a shlishi l'tuma, so he's going to become a sheni with regard to kodesh. What do you mean he eats a shlishi l'tuma? What's he eating? He's eating chulin that's treated with the level of truma, with the sensitivity, the tuma sensitivity of truma. Good, so now the Gemara explains what the reason for this Gezerah is. Now that we've explained that we're on Rabbi Yoshua's side, that the Mishnah that we quoted is like Rabbi Yoshua, that whether you eat a Rishon or whether you eat a Sheni, you have the capacity to be to pasul Truma, but not to be Metame Truma. So, Ochel Ochel Rishon Ochel Ochel Sheni, my time goes with Rabbanan Tuma. What motivated the Rabbanan to be Gozer Tuma when a person eats a Rishon or a Sheni Lutuma? Because sometimes a person will be eating tame food, v'shakil mashkin to truma, and he's going to need a drink. He's eating something dry. He's going to need a drink to wash down the food. So he's going to grab a truma drink, v'shadi lepume, and he's going to put it in his mouth while the food is still in his mouth. So the tame food is going to touch the truma, and that's going to be bad. Pasalu, why is that bad? Because you're going to pasal it. And the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah to be shomer the truma, to guard truma from any tuma. So therefore there were gozer that if you eat something tamei, you're now going to be metamei any truma that you touch, and that hopefully will discourage people from keeping truma around while they're eating tamei things, and therefore they won't have access to truma to stuff in their mouth as they're eating their tamei food. Now the Ran explains that the reason the Gemara didn't just say that, the reason for the Gzeira is that you might take another food that is truma and put it in your mouth. We dafka said you might take a truma drink and put it in your mouth and not just an additional food. He says because normally when you're eating one food, you wouldn't stuff another food in your mouth. If you're eating one type of food, you'd swallow it. But it is very common to take a drink while you're eating food, so they went with that which is most common. Pnei Yeshua explains, because an ochel is not metame another ochel minatorah. That's the sheet of Rava, Meseches Pesachim, that even by truma, an ochel would not be metame another ochel. So they would not have made a gzeira on account of the possibility that you might put truma food in your mouth while you have tame food in your mouth. Because on a daraisa level, that wouldn't harm anything. There would be no problem with truma food coming in contact with tame food. So the whole gzeira was about a truma drink while you have a tame food in your mouth, and this is a gzeira that it's going to be a violation of what the pasuk says, es mishmeres trumasi, that I say mishmeres lutrumasi, that you're not allowed to be metame the truma. Now the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out over here that Rashi says the reason is for this gezeira is because you have to guard the truma from becoming tameh. L'chara, you have a better reason to make this gezeira. Think about what's happening over here. A guy is eating tameh food, and then we're worried that he's going to put a truma drink in his mouth. And what's he going to do once that truma drink is in his mouth? He's going to spit it out? No, he's going to swallow it. Well, there's, in addition to the isra of being metame truma, a lack of shmira on truma, there's an additional isser. You're not allowed to eat truma tameya. So if the truma is going to become tameh by him putting it in his mouth, l'chora, you have a second problem, that he's eating truma tameya. So why doesn't the Gemara just say that that's the reason that he's putting he's going to be eating the truma tameya? So Rabbi Kiveg writes because the one could then ask mahu ilu chachamim betakonasam, just like you have to be choshesh that he's going to forget that the food that's in his mouth is tameh, and he's going to drink mashkim shel truma tameya, so too you have to be choshesh that he's going to forget that his guf is tameh. So Rashi says that the reason is that he's musar to be shomer the truma betara. So once there goes there that he is tameh and that he's metameh truma b'mago'o, so then we're going to be misrachik mina truma, and he's not going to be in the habit of eating the truma, and you don't have to be choshesh he's going to put the truma in his mouth. But if they were never gozer tuma on him, then he would be regulate sel truma, and he might forget and he'll put the truma in his mouth. So that's why Rashi says that it's because of being shomer the truma, and it's not enough that it's going to be maybe the day the iser of achilas truma tameya, which is which may be even a more severe iser. Says the Gemara further now, shosem mashkin tameya, my time goes by Rabbanan Tuma. Why would the Rabbanan goes with tuma on someone who drinks mashke that's tameh? Similar concern that sometimes a person is going to be drinking mashkin tamein and he's going to take truma food and he's going to put truma food in his mouth while he's drinking mashkin tamein, upasaluhu, and through that he's going to pasal So they made a gezera that he's going to be metami the truma b'magao, in order that that he shouldn't come into the habit of having truma around while he's having tuma together. So says the Gemara, hainu hach, that's the same exact gezera. It's just you flip the food for the drink. In one situation, the food was the truma and the drink was the chulin, and the other was the tame food, and the other was the opposite. So the two gezeros shouldn't be two gezeros. They're mamish the same gezera. So don't meaning that any time you consume, we could have said it this way, anytime you consume something that's tamei, you become tamei, right? Why do we have to say whether that which you consume is a rishon or a sheni? You become a sheni l'tuma. So why do we have to make two separate gzeros? So ma'u detema hashrichi v'halo shrichi. Now, I might have thought drinking while you're eating tamei food, that's a more common kind of thing. But to put food in your mouth while you are drinking, that is a much less common thing, and therefore they would not have been gozer if someone is drinking mashkim tameim, that he's going to put truma food in his mouth. So kamashmalah, and that's why the Tana wants to tell us beferish that there is this additional gezera, that even though it's a chashash rachok, that while a person is drinking, he's going to stick food in his mouth. How do you even manage that without the drink falling out of your mouth? It's a chashash rachok, but nevertheless, once they were gozer one way, there it goes the other way as well. So that's why we want to specify that that is in fact part of the gezera. Okay, now we move on to the next gezera. Now, these gezeros, a lot of them have to do with tumen tahara, so we think that they're not nogeya bichlal bizman hazeh. This one actually is nogeya bizman hazeh, so let's see. If a person, on the day that he goes to the mikvah, also bathes himself in regular water. So my time it goes to be Rabbanan Tuma. Why would the Rabbanan say that you become tame when you take a bath? So Amar Avivi, Amar Avasi, Shebetchila hayu tov lim b'mei ma'arus mechunasin. It used to be that all the mikvahs that they would go to were regular rainwater that was just gathered in a crevice in the ground. So it was like what we would call a mikvah, and it's perfectly kosher to be metarer a person from everything except for Tuma Ziva, where the Pasuk says that V'rachas Pesorah b'mayim chayim v'taher. The Pasuk says, Dafka by Tuma Ziva, you need mayim chayim, you need a flowing spring of water. But for all other types of tumah, a mikvah is perfectly fine. So they used to go to these gross, disgusting mikvahs. You know, someone once described some of these mikvahs, you know, it looks like an avocado smoothie, right? So you go into such a mikvah. So after the mikvah, do you feel, I feel a sense of tahara? No, you feel disgusting, right? So it's a sruch and the water is gross. So what would they do right after the mikvah? They would take a shower after the mikvah. So yischilu v'asalim keva. So they started to view the mayim shuv as something that had to be done after the mikvah. So gozer aleihem tumah. They said, you know what? If you go in mayim shu'uvim, you're going to become tamei. So my keva, what does it mean they started to view the mayim shu'uvim as keva? What does that mean and who cares? So why was that a problem? Samar abaye, shayu omrim lo elu mitarin ele elu vi elu mitarin. No, the problem is they started to make the wrong assumption about what affected the tahara. That they started to think, it can't be the avocado smoothie that makes me tahar, because that is so impure, it seems so gross. It must be that it's the combination of the mikveh and the shower afterward that's mitayer me. That only when I have the combination of the two of them do I become tahar. So Amar Leih Rava, may nafkamina hakatav libanach. Okay, so let them believe that. As long as they go into the mikveh, what do I care? So they think that you have to go to the mikveh and take a shower. All right, the world won't become a worse place if everyone who goes to the mikveh also smells good, right? It wouldn't be so terrible if everyone took a shower. Well, why is this a problem for us that they'll bathe after the mayim shu'uvin? So the Achronim point out, well, I might have thought that it is a problem for us, because if they think that if you go to the mikvah alone that and you don't take a shower afterwards that you're still tamei, maybe they'll touch truma after their tovel, they'll assume that the truma's tamei, and they'll be so rafe the truma, because they're going to think that they're still tamei. So maybe that's why they had to make a gezeira. So the Achronim point out, no, they can't give that answer, because then mahu ilu chachamim betakanasam. What was the actual gezeira? The gezeira is, if you just take a shower, you're going to become tamei. even though you are not. Or if you take a shower, rather, after you go to the mikveh, you're going to become tummy, even though you're not. So now you're going to still have the same problem, really. I mean, the chum just made a new reality where after the shower, when you touch truma, it's now going to become tummy. So it's going to be the same problem. So they would not have made this gezera just to address the fact that the concern that people after the mikveh might wrongly assume that truma is going to become tummy, because the gezera itself wrongly assumes that truma becomes tummy after you take the shower. So you have that. You would still have that same concern. So what exactly was the logic over here? Ella amarava sheyo omrim lo elu mitarin. Ella elu mitarin. Not that people were under the impression that both the combination of the two of them are going to be mitaher, of both the mikvah and the shower. No, it's that people are under the impression that only the shower is mitaher. So that's going to be the problem. And then they'll come to only take a shower and not go to the mikvah at all. The Rambam in Hilchos, that's how Rashi explains. The Rambam in Hilchos Sharav El Satuma, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, disagrees. He says, no, there's no way that people are going to think that you went to the mikvah for no reason whatsoever, and that people will just only take a shower. What do they think the mikvah is there for? It's impossible that people would ever come to that concern, but rather they would make the ikr tuffel and the tuffel ikr. I mean, they might start to view it as you have to take this disgusting bath to enhance your level of tumah before you can then cleanse yourself entirely. They might think that it's like a hachana, you know, that the real mitair is the shower, and the way to have the full effect of the shower is by making yourself absolutely gross in advance of the shower. But they're not going to realize that the real mitai, the ikr mitai, it's not that they're going to stop going to the mikvah entirely, but that their focus is going to be entirely off, and they're going to be tovel below kavana. They're not going to have kavana when they're tovel in the mikvah. They're not going to have kavana to be mitai. It happens to be we pask in Shulchan Aruch that even if a person does not have kavana to be mitai themselves, the tevila is still a valid tevila. That's where Rav Moshe writes in the famous tshuva where someone asked Rav Moshe that they were dating a non-religious, a balas tshuva rather. They were dating a girl whose parents were not religious. And they said, you know, the Gemara Maseches Nedarim tells us that one of the B'nai Teisha Amidos, it's a bad thing if a woman doesn't go to the mikveh, it has a negative effect on the children if a woman didn't go to the mikveh. So this fellow said, I'm dating this girl, she's a tzadekas, she has beautiful midos, we get along beautifully, everything's wonderful, but her parents are not religious. So Mistama, her mother never went to the mikveh, so maybe it's a problem to marry her. So the Stipler, when he was asked that shaila, the Stipler said, no, adrabah, even though she, you know, she had everything working against her, she's so good that she overcame all of that. So that's adrabah, that's more of a reason to marry her. Rav Meisha said different. Rav Meisha said, nah, Mistama, her mother went to the beach. Meaning she went to the beach, so she had tara b'mikveh. There was no kavana, but in Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Tzadi Tes, in Yaradeya, that's what we pass, Kuf Tzadi Ches, rather, in the end of Kuf Tzadi Ches, I think in Yaradeya, we passed in that even without Kavana, the mikvah is able to be mitahir. We're machmir l'charchila, the Ramaz machmir l'charchila. But anyway, but there is such a notion. But that's what the Rambam's concerned, a lack of kavana in the tevila. V'tarish nafal rosh of rubu shlosh lugin mayim shu'uvin. And if you have a Torah person that had three lug of mayim shu'uvin come on their body, my time goes be rabban tuma. Why would we be gozer tuma on such a person? So says Mar di loha lo kaimaha. The other gezerah never would have lasted had it not been for that first for that gezerah about the tahar person. Meaning it only worked to say that a tahar person it only worked to say that someone who went to the mikveh can now not take a shower because there was because we were willing to make it a low plug that whenever you take a shower you're automatically tameh. So they made a gezeiras tum on anyone who takes a shower. It happens to be the Ramah writes in Hilchos Nida that even that this halach of not showering after going to the mikveh still applies bizman hazeh, and that a woman who's toveles minidasa should not take a shower after going to the mikveh. This was a lot of people are asking shailas this week, what types of changes should be made in their routine when a woman goes to the mikveh, and what types of changes were made in the protocols of the mikvahos. And there were significant changes. Now, I mean, thank God our mikvahos are very clean to begin with, the women's mikvahos at least. I don't know about the men's mikvahos, I don't visit too often, but the women's mikvahos are very, very clean, but nevertheless, they had to make a number of changes in kosher protocol this week at the mikvaos, but people want to know, should that be something that they do? So it happens to be the water in the mikvah is chlorinated and is not is very clean anyhow, so it's not necessary to take a shower. But the Rama writes that you shouldn't take a shower after going to the mikvah because of this this halacha that people are going to say lo elu mitarim ela elu mitarim. So how long after? So that's a major machlokas haposkim. Some say until she comes home. Some say until she's had tashmish with her husband. Some say until the next day. So different shitas as to when she can actually take a shower after going to the mikvah. Good, weiter. The sefer my time goes by Rabban Tumah. Why are the Rabban goes with Tumah on a sefer? So Amrav Meshashi Shabitchilo Yimatzni Yisoch from the Truma Eitzel Sefer Torah Va'amru High Kodesh Va'High Kodesh Kiven the Kachazu the Kassu the Pesay the goes by Rabban Tumah. That it used to be that people would like to keep all of their holy items in one place. So they would keep their truma and their svarim all together. The problem is truma is food, and that attracts mice. So if you can have mice coming to the place where you keep your svarim, so then it's likely that mice are going to start eating away at your svarim. So they were gozer in order to encourage people to keep their truma away from their svarim. They said, you know what? Your svarim are now tame. So don't risk tuma to your truma. Vayadayim, and why were they gozer tuma on yadayim? Because yadayim touch all different parts of your body, and it's a ganai for truma food to be touched with unclean hands, because the food will become disgusting from unclean hands, and therefore we were gozer tuma on truma foods. I think someone sent me an article that in the Black Plague, the reason that they believe the Jews were not affected originally as badly as eventually the Jews were affected more than the Goyim because of all the pogroms, because they thought it was a Jewish conspiracy to cause the Black Plague. But the reason the Jews initially were not affected by the actual plague was because of our hygienic habits, including Netilas Yadayim. We were the only ones washing our hands. So we've been hearing with Corona how important it is to wash your hands. We were the only ones doing it. So these Takanos Rabbanan actually saved lives. So anyway, but Yadayim Askani Yosein, that's why they were gozer Tuma on Yadayim. Rashi writes another pshat in the name of his Rabosav that since Yadayim are askanios, not that you touch dirty parts of your body, but that you might touch something tamei, and that's going to be the problem. But Rashi says that doesn't make any sense for three reasons. First of all, if we're afraid that the Yadayim touch Tuma, we should be choshesh, maybe they touched an avatuma and became a rishon the Tuma. I'm just getting the less than 1 minute warning, so we're going to have to re-log on when we're thrown off in less than 1 minute, so just the warning for that. So that's the first problem, says Rashi. That maybe they touch an avatum and they become a rishon l'tumah, and they should therefore be metami truma, not just pasul truma. Second, he says, if you're really afraid that maybe they touch tumah, why are the yadayim only pasul truma and not your whole body? There's no such thing as only your hands becoming tameh on a daraisa level. And if the chashash is that your yadayim touch tumah, then netilas yadayim shouldn't be enough. You should have to be tovel, your whole good, because your whole body becomes tummy. So your whole body should ruin the truma, and your tikkun on that should have to be on the entire body. So Rashi therefore rejects the explanation of Rabosav Shal Rashi. However, the Ritva is miyashev. Wow, I'm the slowest one out of everybody. Okay, welcome back. Oh, I'm muted. Okay, welcome back, everybody. So the Ritva is Miyashev Shitas Rashi, but we're not going to get into that right now. So Shitas Rabosav Shal Rashi. So Tana Af Yadayim Abos Machma Sefer Posel Satruma. Even Yadayim that touch the Sefer are going to posel Truma. Mishum to Rabbi Parnach. Damer Rabbi Parnach Am Rabbi Yochanan. Oche Sefer Torah Orum Nikbar Orum. If a person holds a Sefer without anything between his hands and the Sefer, he holds it directly, so he's going to be buried undressed. Orum Salkadaitach. He's going to be buried naked. did. Ella Amar Rabbi Zera aren't below mitzvos. No, no, it means he's going to be buried without any mitzvos. Below mitzvos, no mitzvos. Ella Ema aren't below osa mitzvah. No, it means that whatever mitzvah he got from opening up that sefer and learning from it, he loses by touching the sefer with his bare hands. A lot of Rav Shechter always reminds us every year before Purim. A lot of people don't realize. A lot of people have a klaf. They have their own megillah. That the halach is you have to do netilas yadayim before you touch your megillah. So a lot of people don't know that halacha. So hey gozer bereisha, which gezerah were they gozer first, on stam yadayim or yadayim that touched the sefer? So ilay maha gozer bereisha, if you can say that they were first gozer on stam yadayim, so kiven dahach gozer bereisha asulamali. Once they were gozer on stam yadayim, why do you need to be gozer on yadayim that touched the sefer? Elahach gozer bereisha, it must be that they were first gozer on yadayim that touched the sefer, and then vahadur gozer bekul yadayim, and then they expanded the gezerah to all yadayim. Then we said tvul yom. That tvul yom is also a din midrabanan. Frak the Gemara, tvul yom da raisuhu, dechsiv, uva Hashem shvater. It's a beferish of pasuk in the Torah that a tvul yom passels truma. So says Mar Samim, you can't tvul yom. You're right, you got to delete tvul yom from the list. Va'ochlin shenitmu b'mashkin. Then we said food that became tamei from a drink will also passel truma. Says Mar, what kind of liquid? B'mashkin demai. Ilim b'mashkin abayin machmas sheretz. If you're talking about a mashka that came in contact with the sheretz, a sheretz is an avatuma. The mashka that came in contact with the sheretz is a rishon l'tuma. Well, then guess what? Daraisa ninu. That's a psul daraisa. On a daraisa level, those mashkim are rishon l'tuma. D'chsiv, the pasuk says v'kol mashka asher yishaseh. So we learn from the pasuk that a mashka that's in a kli cheres that became tamei from a sheretz becomes tamei. So food that touches it becomes a sheni l'tuma, and a sheni l'tuma min hatorah pasuls truma. It's not a gzeira. So that wouldn't fit the yudchas gzeiros. El b'mashka abo machmas yadayim. No, we're talking about a mashka that was touched by stam yadayim without netilas yadayim being done. So the mashka becomes a rishon l'tuma midrabanan. Ugzeira mishum mashka abo in machmas sheretz. And the reason for the gzeira is on account of the concern of mashka that came in contact with the sheretz. V'akelim shenitmu b'mashkin. And we said kelim that became tamei from mashkin are also going to become tamei. So again, kelim ditmu b'mashkin demai. What kind of mashkin did these kelim come in contact with? Meaning, the which mashkin that became tamei from kelim, that kelim became tamei from, are not going to passel truma min haTorah, and I need a din midrabanan to passel the truma. So is it, what kind of mashkin were these? Ilem mashkin de zav, if we're talking about the bodily fluids of a zav, daraisa ninu, those are an av hatuma, and the kelim therefore become tamei midaraisa, dechsiv, v'chiyaruk hazav batahar, and the pasuk continues, but we see that the roke of a zav and any mashke that comes from the body of a zav has a din of an av hatuma. It's metame adam and metame begadim, which are kelim. So mela apostles the those kelim are going to apostle truma. So mashe biyad tar timesilach, and we learn from there that which is biyad tar timesilach, that it's metame even b'masa. So ella b'mashkin abayin machmas sheretz. So it must be that that it's talking about a mashke that was ba machmas sheretz. The mashke was a rishon l'tuma, and mida oraisa, a mashke that's a rishon l'tuma, does not have the capacity to be metame kelim or gzeri mishum mashkin dezav. And they made a gzera that this mashke will now be able to be metame kelim on a derabbanan level, to the mashka of a zav, which on a doraisa level has the ability to be metame kelim. So now says the Gemara, the next one, not the next one, but historically, how did this tumas yadayim play out? Yadayim talmidei shamay v'hilal gazer, shamay v'hilal gazer. Was it only the talmidim of shamay and hilal where they had to take this vote in the aliyah where the talmidim of shamay and hilal were there? That's where the gzera came into play. No, shamay and hilal themselves were gozer. Detanya Yosi ben there goes their tuma on anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, on Chutz La'aretz, because the Rambam explains, because the Goyim were misrashel with their mesim, and they would bury them wherever, so we always have to assume that there are mesim all over the place, and the Miri says that the non-Jewish women would be covered, their nefalim, their fetuses, there would be kovar the nefelim wherever they would be. So there's tuma all over Eretz Ha'amim. So there goes their tuma on Eretz Ha'amim val klei zuchuchis, and there also goes their tuma on klei zuchuchis, which midar raisa glass kelim are not mekabel tuma, but they were gozer on that. Shimon ben Shetach tikein ksuba liisha, and Shimon ben Shetach was misaking to write a ksuba for a woman, which is a big chiddush. That doesn't really mean that he was gozer to write a ksuba for a woman. It's a machlokas tanoim and amoraim and rishonim whether ksuba is daraisa or ksuba is dirabanan, but what it means is that he was gozer that va'afil min glima dal kasvai, that everything I own is meshubad to pay back your ksuba, because women were concerned that they're marrying this guy and he's promising them a ksuba, but they don't have any money, they don't have two nickels rubbed together, they're never going to get paid back anything. So gozer tuma al klei matchos, so they were gozer, and they were gozer tuma on klei matchos, and shamei v'hillel. And this is the whole point of quoting this. Gozer tuma liyadayim. They were gozer tuma liyadayim, but it wasn't their talmidim; it was them. So it says more. V'chitei meshami v'siato v'hil v'siato. And if you could say no, shami and hil means their talmidim, but they were together with their talmidim. V'amr v'dum rishmol shmona asar davar gozru v'shmona asar nechluku v'ilu hil v'shami lo nechluku el v'shlosh mekamos. But we learned that there were these 18 things that they were arguing about, and yet Hillel and Shammai were gozer were only argued about three things. They only had three machlokas, so don't tell me this was Shammai and Hillel plus their talmidim arguing about these things. And if you're going to say maybe Shammai and Hillel were gozer that when tuma touches truma, the truma is tole, you can't burn it but you can't eat it, and the talmidim came and were gozer that you even burn it. But Ilfa told us that no, the initial gzeira on yadayim was to make it so tame that you'd even burn it. So Ella asa in who gazer velo kiblu minayu asu talmidayu vekiblu minayu. No, the historical progression was that Shammai and Hillel were gozer and they were not mekabel the gzeira, and then the talmide Shammai veHillel were gozer, and finally people were mekabel the gzeira. Okay, we're going to stop there, but I just want to remind everyone on Sunday Shir is at 7:45. We're going with regular BKNW Zmanim, and also there will be a new link for the Daf Yomi starting Sunday, where we're not going to get cut off at the 40-minute mark. So if you don't mind, if you could just put your email address in the chat so I can send you the new link, that would be very, very helpful. Before I sign off, I'll get all those email addresses, Be'ezras Hashem. And Belineder, I will send it to the BKNW list as well. So anyone who's on the BKNW email list, you'll get the link that way, so you don't have to worry about it. But certainly people who are not on our shul email list, it would be helpful to have your email address. So again, thank you very much for coming to learn with me. I have to tell you, these are challenging times, and this is the biggest chizuk for me to be able to learn together with you each and every day. So I appreciate it. You have no idea what you're doing for me in being able to learn together each and every day. Chazak ve'amatz, and Be'ez Hashem, we shall all have a wonderful Shabbos.